I'm Bronwyn Williams, futurist and trained analyst, and this is Local Logic, where we help South Africa's technology leaders unlock the real power of data and AI in their technology stack. Join me as I sit down with Dr. Bongani Andy Mbaso, CTO of Altron Group, on building secure data and AI-driven digital transformation. Local Logic, a technology podcast brought to you by Altron, because local expertise drives global results. Welcome to Local Logic, a technology podcast for leaders brought to you by Altron. Today, I'm joined by Dr. Andy Mbaso, the Group CTO of Altron, and our special guest, Lee Nike, the CEO of TransUnion. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, let's get right started. Today, our topic is how to leverage AI and data for business success. So that's quite a broad topic. And in some of our preparation for the show, we were talking about where does the value in data really lie and what do people get wrong about that? So let's start with you, Lee, and then move on to you, Andy.
Well, as a technologist, a very non-technology answer is that there's no value in data in and of itself. I think that data is all around us. We've always spoken about data being the new oil. And actually, that's not specifically useful because oil isn't the answer to all questions. I think there's value in data when it becomes processed into insights that are meaningful. Mm. And I think for us, and I've been in a business that's now 125 years old, it comes down to what are the most meaningful questions that drive impact. Impact could be societal, it could be business, it could be for the continent. But we're going to find a way to connect how we do things to a bigger societal or impact-linked outcome.
Great. So, Andy, maybe you want to come in and give us your take on what makes data, therefore, valuable.
Yeah, thanks, Bronwyn. I like to take things back to first principles. Firstly, it's a misconception that there are some organizations that leverage their data and there are others that do not. Every organization runs on data. And I think often when people go, can you leverage your data better? They're actually talking about, can you do more with it? What is it outside of my traditional business can I start doing with that data, right? Can it give me insight into, adjacent spaces? Could it give me insight, into my operations and things that I'm not, particularly seeing? I think the question should be, how else could we continue to leverage it, right? To either improve our internal operation, or improve the services that we provide to our customers.
So let's push back at you right there. How can you leverage your data?
I think it's about understanding the fundamentals of your business. Who are your customers? What is it that you do? What value is it that you're bringing to them, right? And if there's any gaps, and there's always a gap in any organization, is there any information both internally and externally that can give me insight into where I could improve that service or that product for my customers? And I think often that's where we get it wrong. It's multidimensional. Sometimes it's direct feedback from the customer. Sometimes it's about the way that the service or the product is delivered to the customer. Sometimes it's about how long it takes, right, to actually deliver that particular service. So you need to look at all these extra-dimensional or interdimensional data sets, and be able to leverage insight around how can I improve that, delivery to my customer.
So Lee, let's ask you, how are you in your role at TransUnion using data to turn it into gold, gold as in cash in your bank account?
That's a good question. I think we've got a lot of data, probably more data than most organizations. One of the things I realize is that data is not useful in itself. And what we try to do is to find a way to be relevant as an organization by being relevant to society and our customers. And it comes down to what are these questions we want to solve? Mm. So in my case, given my own background growing up as a youngster in a township called Chatsworth, I've picked exclusion as a problem we want to solve. Mm. We've also found that for us to leapfrog our legacy of lack of investment in infrastructure, transportation, water, identities, digital inclusion is a big hot topic. Everybody's trying to find a way to drive inclusion. So almost everything we do is to figure out, can we solve this problem or make a dent on the problem? And it's somewhat the inverse, not to be contrarian to what Andy said, is that there's data everywhere. The question is, what data could lead to an insight that leads to an outcome? Mm. In my case, we figured out that the problem size is 500 million excluded people on the continent that can't participate in the financial economy, not because they don't want to, because they can't be seen for their hopes and their dreams. So in our case, we have an entire team whose only job is this, to find data sets that help us make small dents on the 500 million. In the case of digital inclusion, we come from a culture and a history where we don't trust each other as humans. In a digital world, how do you promote trust? How do you find a way to make it seamless and easier for communities to buy into that? So our posture is less about what data do you have. It's more about what recipes can we create that have use available ingredients, data, from us or from other third parties, because in the end, it doesn't matter. If you can't move the needle on an outcome, be it revenue or margin for your shareholder or impact like inclusion, then actually it doesn't matter. We have a concept called a data value continuum within the organization. And our view is that data as a raw, explicit form could be worth X. As an insight, it could be worth 2X. As an action, could be 5X. And as an outcome, it could be 100X. Because in the end, as humans, what we really want is outcomes. And I think as a technologist, once again, we got to care less about the how. That's the missionary. That's the rails that Andy would talk about. We got to figure out on outcomes that move the needle. And it's worth just mentioning that we've got many challenges to solve, whether it's our 33% unemployment or whether it's our 1.4% GDP holding back sub-Saharan Africa. The question is, can you focus on an outcome and orient your recipes for success, right, that use multiple internal and external mechanisms to give rise to these outcomes? So that's how I think about it. And our organization's 125 years old. I joined 9 years ago as a CEO. My position was to slow the game down and deliberately slow down things and stop them, because you can't do 1,000 things. Choose 3 things and do them amazingly well, because in a market of commoditization, suffers from a problem we call mean time to commoditization. The question is, how do we jump this S curve of innovation and think beyond to an outcome? The how is less important relative to the what in response to problems that we call the whys.
Okay, so Andy, picking up on this, when it comes to your focus, the ruthless focus on outcomes and using your data to deliver some sort of value at the end, what can new advances in technology, like the advances in AI that you're looking at, do to help us surface greater opportunities and address some of those challenges?
Yeah. Look, I think firstly, you know, before we get to the AI question, you know, I think TransUnion is an example of an organization that's more mature in terms of, you know, how they see data and how they can, you know, leverage it to achieve certain outcomes. But many of our customers, right, across FSI are still struggling with very basic and mundane challenges around their data. So yes, TransUnion is at a point now where they are actually actively looking out for new data sets to get new insights that can lead to action, that can lead to outcomes. Most of our customers are just going, where is my data, number one? How do I make sure that it's clean and I can get insights, you know, from that just to improve my operations, or at least just to get insight around how my product or my service is performing in the market. So I think there's a journey there, right, that one has to kind of acknowledge. To go back to your question around AI, the core insight for me around AI is you can actually use it to transform data. Often when we talk to customers, you know, I hosted a roundtable with FSI customers about 2 months ago, and we asked the question, what are you guys doing around AI? Are there any interesting applications that are impacting your services, your customers, customer experience, etc.? And most of the answers were, our data is too dirty. It's not clean enough. We just don't know where to start. And we reframed the question and we said, well, have you ever considered leveraging AI to help you transform the data, right? So to help you to clean the data, etc. So I'll give you one example of a problem statement that many of our customers in FSI will immediately recognize, which is this panacea called single view of customer. Most of the banks have been trying to do that for the last 10, 15 years, and it's most of them haven't done it, right? And the reason for that is it's too complex. It's across multiple data stores, etc. And the way that the customer is stored across all of these areas is vastly different. And what we did is we kind of turned that around and said, well, could we leverage AI to help us determine whether this customer here represented in this data store is perhaps the same customer in this data store. And by leveraging that, we were actually able to create a single view of customer in a month, something that was taking, 15 years, prior to that. And it's not to say that there's no one was trying to do the right thing, et cetera. It is just that it's a continuous problem that is always changing, right? So you're never going to get your data 100% clean. And I think sometimes with AI in particular, I think it's sometimes about forgetting the hype and going, can I leverage it to do just the basic things that I want to do anyway? Clean data, create single view of customer. You can leverage the technology to help you to do that better.
Okay, so you're picking up on quite an important point there, that there are things that you can do with what you've got today that can start deriving value for your business immediately. And that's something you've spoken about quite a lot in the past, that you've got to use the stuff. Your data is more valuable to yourself than it is to someone else.
Yeah.
And maybe you can talk a bit about some of the misconceptions there. Some people seem to think that their data is more valuable than it really is. Yeah. Individuals too, as well as organizations, that can be sold, that it can be traded for a universal basic income or not. So what are your sort of perspectives there in terms of where the real value in your data comes from? Does it come from having it? Is it something you can sell, or is it something that has to be used?
I think once again, if I can touch on what Lee said, it starts from having very clear outcomes. Mm. There's no single organization in this country that has 100% view of me as a customer if I take an end consumer perspective. But definitely TransUnion and other companies will have data sets that might touch on those particular areas. So what if we partner together? What if we partner to get a better view of people like an Andy, right? That are middle class, that drive a particular car. And, how can we use those data sets to make sure that we can deliver better service to that particular individual? So that's just one, one example. So I think that's often where we get the misconception, is that my data sets are just more special than everybody else's. I don't think that's true, because you'd have to assume that you have perfect knowledge of the end consumer or the end customer. That's never the case. So I think looking for those partnerships for me is always important, right? Because then you can get a better understanding of that particular segment or a particular profile of customer to help them to to do whatever it is that they need to do, right, through your products and services.
Okay, Lee, maybe you want to come in with that conversation around connecting dots across different data sets to develop new insights, whether that's through contextual or metadata, or whether that's through partnering, as Andy says, with other data sets. What insights do you have as to the insights and the value that can be derived from sharing and going broader?
So there's a few concepts to talk about. Firstly, there's a concept called the sharing economy. And, I spent most of my career in technology transformation. One of the things we need to figure out in this new world of working is that there's nothing that we can do by ourselves. In fact, it's wholly inefficient to try and do everything by yourself.
Yeah.
So one of the things to think about at a construct level is, what am I good at doing as an organization versus what am I bad at doing? It allows us to then focus our efforts both at intellectual level, at a cost level, on things that can move the needle. Clearly, if you aren't into payroll as a focus, you shouldn't do payroll. Use an online version of payroll. Yeah. So at a simple level, we still haven't gotten over the fact that you shouldn't do everything by yourself.
Yeah.
Mm. And some of the challenges we have, we work with 7,000 businesses in South Africa, very similar to Altron for that matter. And it's interesting how we don't collaborate as much as we should. So there's a concept put out there that if we start to think of a sharing economy, we're able to borrow elements that we don't need to have. For example, in a recipe that you could bake a cake or put up roast chicken, you actually don't really know whether the oregano was organic or where it came from.
Yeah.
You do care how it tastes. And we got to move from this how level up the food chain to value, or the customer value proposition. To your specific question around, how do you start to evolve these data sets? So the notion or the concept of the taxonomy is what we call alternative data. Alternative means non-financial, non-traditional data. An example could be how, in my earlier example of exclusion, in South Africa, there are 16 million adults excluded from the financial economy. It isn't because they don't have hopes and dreams to have a car or have a house, because the system can't see them. We took 18 months to study data sets to find a way to get into this part of the population. What we realized was that every South African may not have a bank account or a car, but we all have phones.
Mm.
Could you find a way, with the consent of the customer, and consent's an important point, to actually use the data on your phone, on your prepaid phone, to infer whether you're good enough to have a bank account or have a retail account? 18 months of effort to figure that out. So one of the challenges of having a data-centric organization is to, on an ongoing basis, seek out new sets that add value. Now, I didn't say buy all the data. You have an outcome in mind. Yeah. The outcome could be in our lifetime to have a better life for all Africans. So that's inclusion. Should you have the most data? No, you don't. We've got thousands of data elements. We don't use most of them. Same with Altron, lots of data elements. The question is, how do you do that? To your question about interconnectivity, one of the things linked to the sharing economy is to step up and step out of your organization. Go to your biggest customer and say, let's identify a joint challenge. Let's put the best of what you have with the best of what we have as Altron FSI and figure out whether we can concoct a recipe to drive value. What is value? Every customer in South Africa, from a business perspective, only really has two problems, revenue and margin.
Yeah.
If you think it's not that, then it's wrong. It's always that.
Yeah.
As a CEO, that's literally what we get measured on. So the question is, how do you start to orient your value proposition as Altron or as a data service provider towards that in mind? So I guess in a bit of a circular manner, in a sharing economy, it's about how do we come together to realize an outcome. And the sooner we go from the shiny object mentality to the outcome mentality, there's actually more value being realized. Mm-hmm. And it's not about the data. It isn't about the tech. It will be commoditized. Mm-hmm. Those that will survive the spirit are agile to change because change is what is required today. Mm-hmm. And relevance means an ongoing burden within your heart and mind and soul to say, I need to strive for change because mm-hmm. you will be commoditized and left behind if you don't.
Yeah. Ryan, could I add something there? Because I think Lee dropped a nugget there around how you can start to use your data sets externally, which is you need to actually innovate with the customer.
Mm.
I think oftentimes the question that, I see my customers at least ask is, how do I use my data sets? And they often mean, how do I use it to improve my operational efficiencies, etc. But I think oftentimes when they say, I want to monetize data, they mean externally. But the only way to do that is to go to a partner or to a customer and go, what are those challenges, right? Like that you spoke about, and core define them, right? And then decide, okay, we can bring these data sets in a compliant way in this way for us to be able to, to solve that challenge. So I think often that's the tricky bit, because, people are sitting in regulated organizations, the stress of papaya and all of these things. And I think often they see those as hindrances, right? And we can often hide behind them. Mm-hmm. But if you go look at the regulations, actually they encourage you to monetize data, but just do it in a compliant way, right? And there's ways and means for us to be able to, to allow that to happen, right? So if you want to monetize your data sets, I think one of the best ways to do it is to go, like Lee said, and co-create with your customers or your partners. If you do it internally, I mean, it's kind of just business as usual.
Yeah, so it's cheap to see the data as the value in and of itself that could be traded and sold to someone else, but it's a lot richer to see data as a means to build something of worth and of value to your end user. So use your data for yourself. Don't see it as something that could be cheaply kind of just sold. It should be something that should be used. But Andy, I did want to ask you and push you a little bit further on that, and that is, in your work at Altron, do you have any case studies that you can point to or real life experiences of where your work, your teams, your technologies have helped to uncover some sort of insight within a customer's data set, whether it's proprietary or shared data, like Lee was talking about, that actually ends up either delivering value or creating some sort of change, as Lee referred to, that the data caused someone to change course of action?
Yes. Look, there are many examples. But one customer in the media space, has access to lots of data sets and in fact, depend on data sets to be able to do their business. And we were able to work with them, to help them unlock those data sets to say, what are the outcomes that you're trying to achieve for your end customers? And then once you're clear about those, work backwards to go, okay, this is how you can then piece together the data sets to generate the insights, the actions that lead to the outcomes that you're talking about. So that's just one example. Another one, that's a retailer in the food business, very similar thing around workforce management, had issues around high staff turnover, the typical problems that you get in a very heavily staffed environment. And again, to come in and be able to use data to go, how do I improve that for you, right, as a business? How do I make sure that overtime is made efficient, right? Because sometimes you need the overtime, but how do you make it efficient so that you're spending overtime exactly when you need it and not too much of it or too little of it, etc. But I think what's common with both of them is that, you know, we had to do it with the customer. We have to go with the customer to try and co-create that because they are the industry and domain experts. Yeah.
And Lee, coming back to you, a slightly arrogant question perhaps, but clearly you know what you're doing when it comes to data. You've been quite successful in the role that you're in. TransUnion certainly done some interesting things in the data space. What do you think that you're getting right in terms of your approach to leveraging data into insights and into business strategy that perhaps other businesses or other business leaders might just be missing or getting wrong?
Well, thank you. I'm not sure whether by perfect by any means, but what I would say, there's a couple of things we've done. In the journey to AI, there are basics that people are skipping. For example, AI in its most basic form, starting at machine learning and robotic process automation, allows us to actually make things more effective and efficient. We always want to rush off and do the fancy stuff. But actually, one of the things about AI, AI has now become more of a partner versus competition. So we see AI as something that works with us. So for example, every one of my executives has a full license to Copilot because all the research you need to do your job could be easily done by technology. We have the tech to help us make menial, repetitive tasks easier. So one of the things we have done is we try to take the bigger footprint of how we organize our business and make that tighter, make it as effective, meaning do the right things and efficient in the right way. We've been at that for a long, long time. What that allows you to do, Bronwyn, is as a, in a tough environment, tough economy, to optimize the effort taken to deliver the current results. And given my own transformation background, when you do fewer things in a more effective and efficient way, it frees up funding, both capital and operational expenditure, to go after these challenges that will move the needle for your organization. So we spend a lot of time trying to become as effective and efficient in how we discharge our current services. And then secondly, we then said, okay, with now this more headspace available to think, what do we go after? And what we've done is we've chased these meaningful problems. As an example of a meaningful problem that we haven't covered today, 80% of all employment on the African continent comes from MSMEs or SMMEs, as we say in South Africa. That means that as many people as Altron will hire in the next 15 months, it won't make a dent on the unemployment in South Africa. So we figured out that SMMEs are the ones we should back. We remember back in the COVID pandemic, every country around the world tried to save SMMEs because they create employment. One of our kind of big challenges was, why is it that SMMEs and startups in the township economy struggle to get access to financing? And what if we could solve that problem? What could we do? So for many people that walk into a bank, the answer is no, in their own mind and in the mind of the person capturing the applications. What we did as quite a novel thing was we found a way years ago, over 5 years ago, to help a bank or a lender in an FSI say no or yes quicker. So we have a lot of information in the sharing economy. Could we fast track the decision of a no? Previously, there'd be weeks and weeks of paper being scraped. Here we have enough digital data. Can we say, Andy, it's a yes subject to this paper, or it's a no completely? How do you do that? So this is a solution that we actually took to market 5 years ago. It's not like last week, 5 years ago. And the thing once again was, what is the outcome? MSMEs move the employment radar. Some of the largest FSI players in South Africa use this piece of IP we built. Not everybody does. Some do, and we've seen their impact on growth. So that's how I think about this. If we do something that's a shiny object just for our purposes as TransUnion, it has no impact. One of the things you mentioned earlier was reality. Reality is not reality. Perception is reality. Your customers perceive value. How do you know they perception is reality? Well, they'll pay you for it if they perceive value.
Yeah.
And that's why if I look at a challenge that's meaningful, go and solve SMME inclusion. Find a way to get somebody access to a service that they never believed they would. Someone that believes that they're a bad person is now becoming good. Do you see my hope and potential? These are all monetizable outcomes because you've combined an asset, right? An insight to a problem that people care for. Who doesn't want growth? Who doesn't want loyalty? And I think that's the orientation. You know, in the world of strategy consulting where I come from, there are only four or five problems that every organization has. The ability for a data practitioner or an AI practitioner to know those problems allows you to focus on getting those things. Do I want a different version of the microphone? Maybe. Will it change my outcomes? Not really.
Yeah.
Do you want a newer version of your phone? Maybe. Will it change your ability to make a phone call? Not really. Move to things that move the needle. So in summary, making choices about things that move the needle, focus your effort and from a cost and a time perspective, and maximize the chance of a return on investment for your business by delivering revenues and solutions for customers,
yeah.
Right? We call it solving problems that matter. That's like the massive theme at TransUnion. Are we solving a problem that matters? If it's a meaningful problem, it will come with commercial success as well.
Yeah, Andy, maybe you want to come in there with regards to those problems that matter and the difference between good and bad problems to solve. And of course, how quite often the most meaningful change and value creation that can come from really looking at your data, looking at your tech stack, looking at your insights and figuring out what to solve might be the more boring problems and the less sexy ones,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I know you've spoken about this. How would you advise business leaders to unpack what are good problems to solve and how not to get distracted by the shiny?
Yes.
And to focus maybe on things that might seem boring, but might actually be the more important to the end.
I've got my own way of putting, I suppose, what Lee was saying in kind of my own language, which is, you know, focus on those things that make your beer taste better. And if you're obviously delivering something for a customer, then you need to make sure that the customer is clear on what is it that they're doing and how that contributes to making their beer taste better, right? Whatever that outcome may be, right? Because it differs depending on the use case. I just think it goes back to that fundamental of business, right? Sometimes I think we complicate it so much and we go into the hypes and we read the reports from consultancy houses, et cetera, which is great, but we forget that they come from specific contexts. But I think as soon as you start to complicate it, that's when you start to have petty projects, especially in FSR where there's big budgets. I mean, we all read, how much, the banks and insurers, et cetera, are spending on IT. It's very easy to have pet projects because we're not all connected to the making of the beer, right? And so it's so easy to have distractions and everybody's working on whatever. But again, if everybody in the organization can be united on that one vision of how do I make my beer taste better or help my customer make their beer taste better, you will ensure that you're working on the things that matter.
I was actually thinking about, well, not beer. Let's cater for our non-beer drinking audience. But there's a concept that we often refer to called hype cycles, which Gartner publishes. As in a simple example, agentic AI is a massive buzzword right now. And Gartner published an article saying 2/3 of all agentic AI use cases actually fake. It's masked RPA and some form of machine learning. But is it true autonomy? No, it's not. One of the things about why a hype cycle is a really cool concept is that in a hype cycle concept, there's something we call the plateau of productivity. And there's different phases, trough of disillusionment and the like. But one of the things about what Andy said is that in a journey to greatness, we got to crawl and walk and run.
Yeah.
You got to put the rails in place to get the benefits from AI. Like I mentioned earlier, in our own journey, transforming our internal business, we got the rails in place to have the sexier, the cooler stuff. But in the journey for our big FSI customers, we've got to make sure they do the basics right. Because it's easy to spend money on shiny objects.
Yeah.
In the end, one of the things we do, we call project portfolio optimization. If you're not doing something that links to an outcome, it's probably the wrong thing. Stop it. Right? We have no money to waste in the economy we have to create jobs of meaningful stuff. We got to find a way to focus things. So I think that's an important, if you can't link it to an outcome that matters to you, to your salary, to your bonus, to your organization, it's probably the wrong thing. And that's where the bravery is required. Don't chase shiny objects.
Yeah, but Lee, I'm going to come back to you there. Like in practice, what does this actually mean for leaders? Because more data in big businesses just means more questions ultimately and more choices and more opportunities, which can lead to kind of choice paralysis on the one side because you always want just a little bit more data. But it can also lead to, as you say, chasing different things. Actually, practically, as a leader, how do you do that? How do you stay focused?
It's really interesting. So without mentioning names, some of the most successful organizations in South Africa that are getting this right are the ones where the leadership team is laser focused. In my organization, anything that moves the needle has a weekly joint leadership meeting conversation every single week. If it's important to me, it should be important to all of us. And if it's not, we should take it off the table. So part of being able to do that is to have an appreciation. Now, what we're not saying is that every CEO and business leader should be technologist.
Yeah.
But if you can't appreciate it, you can't manage it. So technology is not just something that's, you know, set down to the basement level of the building because no one likes the IT people. IT is now the core of your business. If you aren't digital as a native organization, you're going to struggle to be relevant going forward. So I think two things. One, if you aren't able to appreciate and understand this world you're in, how can you lead and manage? So as leaders, we become irrelevant as business leaders. So that's one part. And secondly, it's to focus on those things that matter. There are things that move the needle. It's really interesting. If you are a data scientist listening to this podcast today, you would say, just give me more data. I will stumble upon the result. But there's a cost to work towards that. In the end, you may stumble on the answer 42. And if you're giggling, you know exactly why I said 42. Mm-hmm. And if you're not giggling, you're probably wondering, like, how much did it cost to get to 42? But the reality is that it doesn't matter because that wasn't the question. The question was, how do I save 10,000 jobs? Or how do I find growth when we're losing revenue every single year? And that's what we do. It's about understanding the business outcome and how that links to these technology choices. And before I understand the business outcome, do I know how technology influences the outcome? So there's a burden on us as leadership to keep evolving our own growth. I often say to the leaders in my business, relevance is a choice. It is your choice. You can choose to be relevant and taken out by the technology, or you can choose to step up and drive your own relevance.
Mm. Okay, Andy, so another hard question for you. So if clients are coming to you, if clients are coming to you, what are the questions that they should be asking when it comes to leveraging data into insights and value? What are those core questions they should be starting with? Going back to those very first principles, do we even know what it is that we're asking that we're trying to get an answer for?
Look, I think I don't know about questions to ask. Maybe let's start with questions to themselves, which is what am I trying to achieve? I think if you don't have a clear outcome defined, I think it's going to be very, very difficult. You know, one of my fears as the CTO of Altron is over-promising to a customer because, you know, you've sold them the hype cycle. They're all in. They want to spend the millions and millions of rands in this economy. And then there's no value delivered, right? Because what happens now? Reputationally, for the next 10 years, they're going, oh, man, Altron, I don't want to work with that company, right? They don't know what they're talking about, etc. So the thing that I always want to make sure is you as a customer, you understand what you are trying to achieve. And now this drives your bottom line. And if you're clear with that, could you make sure that I am clear as well? Because once I'm also clear, I can make sure that, you know, because we're moving with aligned interest then, right? In other words, the how is aligned to the outcomes that you're trying to achieve. So I can't necessarily give you a set of questions, but it's more to ensure that those questions have been asked internally. And if they haven't been, then we as Altron can come in and go, okay, can we ask some questions to help you clarify what it is that you're trying to achieve? Does that answer your question?
Yes, I think we've left people with lots of questions, which is the point. Hopefully people go back, listen to this wherever they are, and ask themselves those questions, figure out if they can answer them convincingly before we get lost in the future. Thank you very much, Lee and Andy, and thank you for joining us on Local Logic, a technology podcast for leaders brought to you by Altron. Local Logic, a technology podcast brought to you by Altron, because local expertise drives global results.